To all of you, today is also All Saints Day. Traditionally, this is a season that we remember our loved ones, especially those who have gone on before us. Also, in the cathedral, November is Missions Month. And so this month, we are so challenged as we reflect on the people whom God has used in the long history of the cathedral, the call He has placed upon us to be a blessing, to be a diffusing light. And that's the theme for our Missions Month. So may we be challenged as we reflect on the work which the past saints have done, as we have sung just now. The world that don't have saints will forget how to praise. May we glorify Him. May our hearts in return also be challenged to give praise to God in our generation. What comes to your mind when this term diffusing the light is used? In a sense, it hardly needs a further explanation, as by casual observation, we know that light travels, it spreads itself out from a source. It is still useful to look deeper at this phrase, because to diffuse is to spread or scatter something over a large area, as opposed to it being concentrated all in one place. And when you use that word, diffusion with light, it carries a rich connotation for the work of the church. St. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, he said this. He said, using the words of creation to describe the work of redemption, he said, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Jesus Himself also made it clear in His Sermon on the Mount that we are also sources of light. He said this, "You," telling His disciples, telling the church, "you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Light reveals, light glorifies. The Bible says that we are sources of light. So let it shine. Let it spread. Let it diffuse out into a world of darkness. And for the cathedral, all these years, 150 years, this idea is helpful. For always, in our long history, there is a concentration of resources. At number 11, St. Andrew's Road, always been looking out to a world, whether on our ground, on the perimeter, there's always this sense that there's something that we can share with the world out there. This phrase, diffusing the light, was a phrase that was commonly used among Anglican missionaries. One of them was Thomas Bray. It's a PowerPoint there. And Thomas Bray was humble, diligent, practical, and extraordinary, loving parish priest. He was a tireless parish catechist, someone who promotes and teaches the gospel. And he was a promoter of lay and clerical learning. In fact, he ran many projects. And that's the reason why some call him the projector. In 1699, he founded the Society of Promoting Christian Knowledge, SPCK, which by the end of the next century has established hundreds of parish libraries, church libraries in America and England, and set up charity schools, and finally translated prayer books and other Bibles. In 1701, he founded the famous Society for the Propagation of the Gospel in Foreign Parts, or in short, SPG, which became the first formal Anglican missionary organization responsible for the support of priests among British subjects abroad for the conversion of native peoples. I'm just using the language of that time, right? Native peoples. And Bray describes what mission is about in a famous sermon he gave called Apostolic Charity. And the focus of his sermon, it's important to grasp this, turning many to righteousness. From Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. This righteousness includes turning people away from evil to God in Christian faith and following the commands of Christ. All this leads in one's own life and in how one shares it to the constitution of the kingdom of Christ, the great society of God's loving rule among persons of all kinds and forms. Many to righteousness. At the heart of the gospel, as Bray understands it, it's not about individual's passport or personal salvation to heaven, but to be God's people on earth, God's society on earth. And Bray goes on to say that for the English church, it is a special calling. Since the particular light of the British nation and of a church is so real and particular as to diffuse itself into the world almost naturally, the way light will do, if it is indeed allowed to, he said, to them, to the British nations, he says, is entrusted by God the stewardship of a special gift, that of a pure religion and liberty together in one people. How is this to be done? Through preaching, catechizing, which means teaching, and instructing via the missionary efforts of a clergy and lay leaders. And this is what Bray will call the apostolic charity at work. So the Anglican apostle is one who is in a mission of enabling and ordering lives of righteousness in common, according to the shape of the Christian gospel and of a society that will reflect this and live it. Now we can, in the post-colonial 21st century, be critical of such remarks. Who do the English think they are? But Thomas Bray, along with many Anglicans at that time, really saw the nation as having, being a Christian one, of having a Christian message. And this Christian faith is communally formed, a commonwealth, where the common good or well-being is shaped through scriptures. And this sense of being a society under God is something which other peoples, other societies need to know and become. And therefore, as I've said last Sunday, with one Bible in one arm and the prayer book in the other, one to read and one to worship through. As you know, the prayer book is about the Bible. The Bible is in the prayer book. Armed this way, the clergy and early catechists go about doing the work. I'm sharing this so that we can have a sense of the kind of Anglican energy that finally reached our shores, our very own shores here in Singapore in the mid-19th century through SPG missionaries. Some Caucasians and some were Indians. We may also want to think the 21st century, the part that Singapore could play in diffusing this light as a church in society to other nations around us. So I fast forward to 1856, here in the cathedral. It's well documented in the book Diffusing the Light, written by Dr. Joseph Tambaya, our People's Warden. I recommend you purchase one from the Welcome Center. Fascinating reading on about 200 years of history in the Anglican Church. But in 1856, in a sermon during Pentecost Sunday, a Whit Sunday, given by the resident chaplain William Humphrey, addressing the congregation of St. Andrew's Church then, not a cathedral yet, on the need to bring the gospel to the natives. By that he meant the Indians, Malays, and Chinese. It was high time, he said. We cannot stop if we would. We cannot withhold our attention from those who so pleasingly require it. So the congregation of St. Andrew's must, in spite of itself, so I suppose whether he meant, despite the fact that they were mostly Caucasians, we need to become a missionary congregation, a center of diffusing to the others the light and comfort and peace of the knowledge of Christ and Him crucified. That sermon was also for the purpose of fundraising. I'll mention that towards the end of the sermon. But a month later, St. Andrew's Church Mission was formed on the 25th of June, 1856. Peter Tikikas from Madras was the first Tamil catechist. I'm not sure he's in this picture, but in this picture you have a group of what you see here is a chaplain surrounded by local catechists. Some of them, of course, were Chinese. And at the start of the work, it was very slow and very difficult. But the work of St. Andrew's Church Mission really took off under the leadership of William Henry Gomez, where he served from 1872 till 1902, where he passed away. And prior to coming to Singapore, he had served in Sarawak, Malacca, and Ceylon. So he has a certain understanding of how to reach the Asian people. Under his leadership, it's important to note, many things happened, but one of them was the beginning of a Chinese work in Jurong called St. John's Jurong, and the church was completed in 1884. I chose to note this because 2 or 3 weeks later, Reverend Bertram Cheong, one of our fellow clergy, will be sharing with us our return to Jurong, our plans to build Jurong Anglican Church. But obviously, it started there in 1884, and since then, it has moved out quite a while ago now. So we're returning to Jurong. Of course, there will be huge disruptions during the first half of the 20th century, the two world wars, Japanese occupation, the struggles with communism, and the pre-independence turmoil. And all this undoubtedly affected the work of the church. But the seeds of vernacular Anglican work, and vernacular, I have to explain, last Sunday someone came to me and said, what is vernacular? Vernacular means in the local language, in Chinese, in Indian, in Bahasa, not just for the Malays, many of the Eurasians speak Malay as well. But the seed for that work in the church, wider church, in the Anglican church, the foundation was laid from the mid-19th century onwards. And I fast forward now to the 70s, the last century. As we know, the renewal broke out in the diocese. At the time when the diocese was a fledgling church, like a newborn baby, the British have left. Along with their resources, their culture, their tradition, and the community. So the first bishop, Asian bishop of Singapore, Chubanit, struggled, was wondering what he should do. But as you know, to cut a long story short, you've heard that story told on other occasions. He was renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the work of diffusing the light began to happen in earnest, spread across the island. Eventually, many congregations and parishes will be planted. And something I have to say something about the work of Canon James Wong. Recently, we celebrated his 78th birthday. Sometimes you can see him coming for this service, sometimes at 7 a.m., sometimes he he joined the service over at Church of Good Shepherd because his son, Reverend Jonathan Wong, is preaching in charge there. But he has done so much. And Canon James Wong is like Thomas Bray. He was never promoted to be archdeacon. He never became a bishop. But he was a projector. He was tireless. He was like an energizer, battery-powered clergy. He just went on and on and on till his health stopped him. He was so influential in the growth of many parishes out there. Not only that, even non-Anglican, some of the largest non-Anglican churches had the stamp of Canon James Wong. Faith, sacrifice, and focus on the need to diffuse the light. In 1984, I walked up the hill of one of the parish, and that began my years of growth as an Anglican and later as a clergy. The same light, of course, has also diffused into education and medical work. And since the 1980s, this diffusing light began to move to other nations as well. Some of our early missionaries from Singapore, one of them is Raphael Samuel, a colleague of mine who has now become the Bishop of Bolivia. A full cycle, he came back and recently he said, I need a church to cover my work. I need to be a member of a church. Can I be a member of St. Andrew's Cathedral? Of course, why not? You know, with Bishop Rennie's encouragement as well. So now he's become a St. Andrew's Cathedral missionary. I have no photo of him. I thought no point putting him up because next Sunday, you know, on All Saints Day, you might be careful with the photos you put up there. Someone like Raphael Samuel is still very much active in ministry. You get to hear him. He's full of humor and conviction, and you'll be blessed next Sunday. But what has truly caught the heart of our diocese the last 20 years or so is the work of our ordinaries. Thailand, Indonesia, Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, Nepal. Under our watch, this is our responsibility to diffuse the light of Christ to them. Now, I want to, the second half of my sermon, I just want to ponder on this phrase, diffusing a light, a diffusing light. To say, first of all, this light needs to be diffused to all. As we have read just now in the passage from Revelation chapter 7, and after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes, peoples, and languages. That is a Christian vision, brothers and sisters. The Christian hope. Of course, on All Saints Days, this passage is read because of the hope that we will be together again. But this text also says, when we are together again, so will they. They. Those believers who speak a different language come from such a different culture. And we are reminded, it's our task here in Cathedral to diffuse the light to everyone, to all. You know, Singapore has always been a land of dreams for many foreigners. Always been. It's last 200 years, always been. The first foreigners were our ancestors. Let me tell you this story. Yeah, it goes this way. It was a rainy evening on the 12th of December, 1931. The crowded boat was nearing the harbour. This Chinese man, Wong Pak Ki, seasick and famished after a few weeks in the seas, could not wait to set foot on the land. A Hakka by birth. Wong was running away from war-torn China and seeking a better life. And he heard about this faraway harbor business port where peace can be found. And more importantly, jobs. The rocking boat inches towards the shore. There was an air of excitement and anticipation amongst the hundreds of Chinese folks. Wong clutched the only possession he had, two bags. One was his clothes, and the other precious family belongings to remind him of his roots. Suddenly, a huge wave splashed across the boat. Some fell into the sea. In the darkness and confusion, panic set in. The boat rocked heavily, and suddenly it capsized. It was every man for himself now, and Wong fell into the cold and choppy sea. Still holding on to his two bags, he tried to stay afloat. Choking on the sea waters, he knew that one of his hands had to be freed. He had to let go of one of his bags. But which one would it be? The split-second decision was made, and his bag of clothes had to go. And in the dark, he swam towards the lights, choking and gasping for air. He tried to make headway in the bitterly cold waters. Hypothermia set in, and his muscles began to cramp. He could not swim anymore. The shore lights were fading, breaking into a kaleidoscope as it sparkled through the waters. He could only hear the sounds closest to him, the sound of bubbling waters. He was slowly sinking, and likewise his hopes of a better life, into the dark and silence of the sea. Will this be his watery grave? Suddenly, someone grabbed him by his coolie pigtail. Ouch! He was yanked to the surface. The pain was almost unbearable, but oh, the fresh air as it rushed into his lungs again, gasping and grabbing. He could hear voices shining lamps. He stretched out his hand, expecting to be hauled up. Then he heard, "Wait! Wait! But why wait? Can you see? I'm drowning!" Then back came the reply, "Welcome to Changi Harbour, sir. The best harbour in the world. Number one. And drowning or not, you must get in line and join the queue, and we need your passport. Quick, quick, passport, passport." I hope that put a smile on your face. Of course, this story is fictitious. It tells something about what Singapore has become today. There's some truth, some facts in this story. Wong Pak Kee is my father. I'm pretty sure he didn't come to Singapore in this manner. Actually, in my previous church, there was a very senior member, a sister, and I visited her one day in her home, and she was telling me in tears that her sister actually drowned in one of such boats, trying to find a new life here in Singapore. She never made it, but this sister, of course, made it. So just a story for you to sense the sense of desperation that some foreigners have had trying to come to Singapore. Reminds me of this passage from Psalm 107. I call that a psalm that carries the hope of migrants. And it says this: they wandered in the wilderness, in the desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. A city of dreams. A city of safety. Few of us can understand the struggle of an immigrant. But we ask, if the light is to diffuse to all, what will Singapore experience be for foreigners in our midst? Some are here perhaps just 2 or 3 years, some for here who are here longer. And it's always here in the cathedral, you don't need to look very far. It's always been this last 200 years. Some of you are complaining, too many foreigners, right, using our facilities. But it's always been that way. Even in the early days, when we meet, when the people here meet for worship, they're always out there in the perimeter, people who are in needs. They were always out there. And today, of course, in the cathedral, we have Myanmar, Bahasa, Tagalog services. Sometime next year, we hope to start High Time, a new Tamil service. Worship. The word of God has to be heard in the vernacular. And do bear in mind, even in our English services here, in our Chinese services, there are also many foreigners. And so we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A vision of the all gathered in worship. Surely, somehow, this all can be so filled at home here in the cathedral. Now, some members feedback to me recently that some groups of Myanmar people were shooed away rudely because they were eating on our grounds or just gathering and chit-chatting. Perhaps it was the work of some new and over enthusiastic hired security personnel. As you know, we hired some, employed some security personnel to help us to manage because this place is a very busy place on Sunday. But perhaps they were new, perhaps they were not properly briefed. But it was all very embarrassing for this group of Myanmar folks. Singaporeans made more embarrassed because some Singaporeans were looking and wondering what was happening. Right? So you can imagine you're in that position. Singaporeans were eating in the cafe, air-conditioned cafe. These groups won't do that because they have good sense to know that their foods will have smells in a way which could be unpleasant for others in an air-conditioned environment. What made the experience worse was this. They were worshippers in our Myanmar service. Properly speaking, they are cathedral members. And obviously, incidents like that challenges us. Like we need to do better. But it's challenging because of the many different cultures and languages that gather here in the cathedral. We need to do better. To communicate the welcome and the love of Christ. We have started inaugural. The first time we did that, we offered free medical checks about 3 Sundays ago to foreigners on our ground. And it was enthusiastically received. Not only did we offer medical advice, we also have counseling. There are different stations where different needs can be met. I think it's a step in the right direction. Because when we start talking with them, the barrier between us and them starts to be removed. We begin to see them as fellow human beings. They were like our ancestors. Came to Singapore with dreams and hope. They're not asking for much, but just to be treated humanly and with dignity. Secondly, brothers, it's diffusing light to all. Secondly, diffusing light that new churches may be planted. While we certainly need to meet humanitarian concerns, the church will ultimately need to do only what she can do. And no other organizations can do it. That's to plant another church. Because we Anglicans plant another Anglican church. In a sense, this is going to be harder. But what does a church planting gospel mission look like? It is about diffusing the light. The light needs to begin here. A light that sparks out from our community. Because there's faith here. Because we gather in connect groups. Because we gather in prayer, in worship like they're doing this morning. There's spiritual life in cathedral. Lives that can be shared. Lives spilling over to the community, surrounding communities and to the countries around us. So we ask, how much spiritual energy, life, and commitment is there in the cathedral that we may diffuse that light to those around us? Church planting, brothers and sisters, is our core business. And absolutely, when we think ourselves here in the cathedral as a mother church, can we start with desiring? Can we start with praying? And that's one and the same thing. To start asking God. Many in the past have done great things. That's well and good. We praise God for them. But we need to ask, what about us? Will we be faithful to the task in this generation? Is there a way of living as Christians in the 21st century, in Thomas Bray's terms, which can be proud to diffuse, to share with others? As we think our dinner is there something we can do? Can our choir go and help the church in Lak Prabang, which has ambition to be the cathedral of the deanery of Thailand? Those involving in children ministry, those involving in our cafe, they're actually setting up a cafe in Lak Prabang in Thailand. Serious questions for us to ask afresh as a mother church. And thirdly, brothers and sisters, diffusing light through giving. By 2018, Cathedral will have 5 full-time missionaries in Thailand, Vietnam, and Nepal. Most will be helping church plants, Anglican church plants in these deaneries. We already have a few in Cambodia. In our intercession segment, you can see some of the names listed up. Working in Project Khmer Hope. Even in Cambodia, we are aware more needs to be done. Can we at least support these missionaries financially? Pray for them, encourage them. One of them told me recently that as a Singaporean living out there, she always ends up sharing whatever surplus she has with her poorer colleagues. The more we give her, she said, the more she will share. She's not out to create a Singaporean bubble. It's like a Singaporean safe house in the midst of foreign land. She's out there to give whatever we give her. If there's a plus, she will share with those around her. I'm encouraged by that kind of attitude. So let me go back to the Pentecost Sunday sermon in 1856. And actually, if you read the fine print, the chaplain, William Humphrey, was doing a fundraising pitch. He was actually asking for money. He asked that the members of his days will each give a dollar. I always pondered about this. 1856, what kind of dollar is that? Cannot be a Singaporean dollar. Could it be a Spanish dollar? Could it be a silver dollar? We can only speculate. How much is that dollar worth today, in the year 2017? So we simplify, round it up. Let's say it's worth $100, 100 Singaporean dollars. And so, on the 19th of November, it's designated as a Diocesan Missions Sunday. To support all these 6 deaneries, the whole diocese has been asked to respond to this project. Give God, $100. At least $100. Some of you may give more, $1,000. You know, $110, and that's fine. But to encourage every member in our diocese to give him $100. In the bulletin today, you see there is a booklet there. But on the 19th, about 2 Sundays from now, on the 19th of November, we'll be handing out an envelope, and there you can respond. And I know in my heart that many of you will. A dollar can go a long way. The very least that each one of you, all of us, can do to participate, to help diffuse the light to the 6 nations around us. I don't have time this morning to talk about the work, but it's exciting. It's a growing work. Responsible leaders, local pastors, some who are clergy and ordained, some who are not, of course, but working actively together. Church, humanitarian work, education, medical work is growing day by day. So encouraging. Brothers and sisters, will we give a little something to help a church to diffuse the light? So Father, we ask by the Holy Spirit that you may help us. You work in ways that amaze us. After all, diffusion of light of the gospel is also the work of the Holy Spirit, moving hearts and hands and feet. We are already encouraged in what you are doing in and through Cathedral. We pray, wait before you for the year 2018 and ahead. Lord, how can we be obedient to the call, to this wonderful opportunity to share the light of Christ, to help us? For we ask and we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son and our loving Savior. Amen.
Thank you, the vicar, for sharing God's word today.